resort to some childish tactic like that instead of telling me what you feel and why you feel that way, because you don't have a leg to stand on.
Yeah.
So, you know, so,
and that's so annoying too, because that's debate 101. Like I always say, the second you either change subjects or you start calling names, the fight's over.
Lost.
The fight's
yep,
over.
Exactly.
It's like, you know, it's okay to have your own opinion. It's okay to disagree with my opinion, but just tell me why. Instead
right.
of saying, well, you're not educated, you're stupid, you're a sheep, you're a this. Okay, once you're done with the insults, what don't you like about my opinion?
Like, right,
that's what
exactly.
it boils down to.
And they have nothing to come back at you with, because they have, because all they're expressing are feelings. That's all they're
yes.
expressing. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. their feelings aren't based in facts or truth or anything like that, or even logic. They just, you know, feel what they feel. So,
yeah. Yeah, and people are entitled to feel what they feel, but like if you're asking about something factual and your response starts with, I feel, no, like I didn't ask you about how you feel about the situation. It's like, this is what's happening. Like,
right.
this is the fact. You know, so well, like you can't interpret the fact any way you want to. Like if a car crashes into a building, you know, you can't just, well, you know, I feel that. But, the dude crashed into a building. So focus on the elephant in the room here.
Right. Well, then they'll go to the next step and they'll say, well, that's my opinion. And this is what I always say is, you're right. Everyone has the right to their own opinion, but don't expect us to put the same value on your opinion that's based in feelings as opposed to someone's opinion that's based in logic, facts, reason, and truth. I go, because we're not going to hold it in the same position. So don't be mad when people take your opinion and say, yeah, I don't think so.
Like, yeah, and that's like when women always say, you know, men shouldn't be speaking on women's issues. I'm like, so
well, yeah.
So a male therapist can't talk to a female about her life and what she's going through, or a male doctor can't work on a female's body because he's not a female. It's like some of these discussions are so stupid, where it's like, I debated with one of my gym clients, right? I don't even know how the subject came up, but we started talking about abortion, and she just got really hot under the collar. I mean, she went from 0 to 60 in like 3 seconds. And I was like, whoa, slow down. I said, I'm talking about me. I was like, my opinion has no bearing on your life at all.
Right.
I said, I'm just saying, if I get someone pregnant, I would encourage her to have the child. Ultimately, it's her choice, because right now it's legal. You know, if you're in a place where it's legal and you want to end it, ultimately you have the final say. I said, but for my personal opinion, I would like to see the child be born. Like, that's my stance. I said, for you to say that a man has no say, so you can't get pregnant without a man, right? Even if you go in vitro, you still need a man's sperm, right? Like, so typically, you know, I think it's like 95% of all abortions are from two consenting adults being irresponsible. You know, like the 5% is all of the other stuff. I said, so you want to be able to do what you want to do, be irresponsible, create a life, and then end said life due to your responsibility. You know, I said, so it took two to create. It should take two to decide to, I guess, end that life. And that, like, that was just my stance. I said, because I've been on that other side of it. Like, I would actually have a child in between my two oldest if she kept the baby. Like, and I encouraged her to keep the baby. Again, ultimately, she chose not to. But that affects me. Even 2 decades later, like, the kid would be turning
right.
22 this year. And just the thoughts are always there. So when people say, oh, you have a dick, so this doesn't affect you. Like, it does. You know, it does. And men should have the right to voice an opinion. Like, I don't think they can ultimately say, you have to have the kid. But they're involved in the conversation.
No, but I think, like Dave Chappelle said, you know, it's your choice. But our choice is, you know what? If you want to have it and I don't want you to have it, then I don't have to pay for it.
Yeah,
but see, they don't like that. They don't like the fact they only want us to take responsibility when it benefits them.
Yes,
you know. And the thing is like what I tell them, and they don't ever like this. It's like, you want the man to take responsibility. Why didn't you, you know, you want to, like, your body is your body, and you want to have a choice to be able to abort the baby or not. Now, I don't have, you know, I'm not going to say I don't have any stake in it, because at one time I did. You know, my ex-wife had an abortion that I wasn't aware of. I found out about it. You know, and like you said, it does affect you. However, the, you know, the reason she had the abortion, I became aware of a little later on, is because she probably didn't know who the father was. So that would have been, you know, so there's a whole other host of issues there. But the thing is like, a, you know, if you want to take responsibility for your body, then why don't you take responsibility and choose to keep your legs closed?
Yep. Why is responsibility? They don't want to hear that either, because you can't finger point now. Right. You know, like accountability is huge across the board.
Yeah, exactly. But they don't want it. They don't want it. It's like you have responsibility for your body at all times, unless you're forcibly, you know, raped. You know, and other than that, then you have the ability to say no and shut a man down, and no matter what point. But you don't want to take that responsibility. You don't want any part of it. So, you know, why do you think people are going to take you seriously and think that man shouldn't have a say so in it? You know, when it does, like you said, it does matter to us, and it does pertain to us, because you didn't get pregnant by yourself.
Yep, exactly. Have you heard of this YouTuber? Is her channel is called Just Pearly Things?
Yes, very much so.
Okay, so someone did a reaction video where she was making comments about some, like, I don't know how the conversation started, but they were talking about slavery and reparations. And she was saying, you know, so are they going to go after the black people that sold the black people into slavery? And, you know, she was just saying things of that nature, which she's not wrong. You know, it's like, that's why it's called the slave trade. Like, white people didn't just roll up into Africa and just steal people. Like, that's not how that went. They exchanged guns. They exchanged sugar, I think, wheat, tobacco, liquor, things that just weren't prominent resources in Africa. And they already had slaves. So by the time the European ships came, the slaves were already on the beach, ready for trade. You know, they made the trade and then off they went. So anyway, so this guy did a reaction video, and all I said was nothing she said was wrong. And so then he starts calling me an idiot. Well, I believe the exact quote was, "You're entitled to your opinion, but you sound like an idiot." And I said, "Well, why don't you come on my show and debate me one-on-one, and we'll see." You know, so he's like, why would I debate you? You know, I consider you an idiot. I said, then this should be an easy win for you. I said, and I'll be respectful, and I won't drag you on your own platform. I said, I'll bring you to mine. I was like, because you obviously don't know the historical facts of slavery. You know, and again, it was one of those reaction videos where he didn't really add any substance. Where, like, as Pearl was talking, he was just, like, you know, doing, like, a close-up on his face, making, like, the
brush. Right, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Saying, oh, she's delusional, she's this. And I'm like, refute what she says.
Right.
He had nothing, and he's ducking me. And I'm going to make sure I clip this part, and I'm going to put it on his channel, like, because he's ducking me.
Yeah, you don't know how many times I've told people who do that, and I've said, then come on my show. And the thing is they, all of them get so they're taken back, because they don't expect you to say, hey, if you're so confident in your position, I said, I'm very fair. I go, I will give you all the time to discuss your position. I will not edit any of it out so that it doesn't look unfair to you. I go, if you don't like it, I won't air it. You know, I go, so you come on my show. Why would I come on your show? Just like you said, I said, because I think this is a discussion that people need to hear. So if you have a better point of view, I think that people should hear it. Yep. And there you go. And then the guy's like, well, one of the guys, he said, I'm not going to come on your show to give you more listeners or something.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Wow. I go, you think a lot of yourself that you think people are going to come watch my show because you're on it.
Yeah, people say that to me too. I'm not giving your channel any attention. I'm like, yeah, like, because you obviously don't really believe what you say. These are the people that watch the news, whether it's right wing or left wing, that they right. watch one news channel and think that that's the end all be all. And it's not. It's like you got to watch both. Like when you mentioned about Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene, I started watching CNN. I started watching Fox News. I started listening to Ben Shapiro. I started listening to the Young Turks. And you gotta get all angles to kind of get some resemblance of the truth. Because what people forget, U.S. politics is a reality show. It's like people think it's not, but it's all a reality show. Like these people are actors. They're paid actors.
That's exactly
in a production. So, like when you listen, because I listened to probably 8 of Boebert's speeches, like short clips earlier, and some of the things she says is like, okay, I can rock with that, and then other things, it's like, where the hell did that come from? You know, and same thing with Marjorie Taylor Greene. She plays to her constituents. That's what it's about. So like the people that really, really believe in her and follow her, that's who she caters to. The other people, they don't care less. They're like, I just need enough votes to get reelected. As long as I keep that base happy, yep. then I'm in.
But you know, here's the thing. All right, so you mentioned when I told you I wanted to talk about Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene not being very intelligent. And again, As I said earlier before we started recording, that I understand that having a degree doesn't really mean a whole lot, you know. However, when you listen to Marjorie Taylor Greene speak or you listen to Boebert speak, you can tell that these two people barely got out of high school. In fact, Boebert didn't. She took her GED. And so we're not dealing with the brightest bulbs in the bunch, okay? Yeah. Or the sharpest tools, as they would say. And the things that they say and the things that they do and the hypocrisy, like when Lauren Boebert was before Congress and grilling this guy about public urination and passing a law to make it okay or something like that. She was trying to really like grill him, and he's like, no, none of that happened. And it really made her look stupid because whoever gave her the information or wherever she looked it up or whatever was incorrect. But beyond that, I thought, what a hypocrite. Your husband was arrested for exposing himself in a bowling alley to a girl, to a young underage girl. How do you stand up there and talk about things like that when you supported your husband and obviously forgave him or whatever you did, but you're, you know, still with him? How do you do that? You know, how do you not see the hypocrisy in what you're doing? And yet I think they do. They just have no shame. Seriously. I think that's one of the biggest challenges that we have in our society today is that we're not supposed to shame anyone. No one's supposed to feel shame. And I'm like, bullshit. You should feel shame. That shame is a good thing because what it does, it prevents you from making the same stupid mistakes in the future. You know, even like when Will Smith said, you know, he didn't want to beat up on himself too much and shame himself because of what he did to Chris Rock. I'm like, no, you should shame yourself. You should shame yourself to the point where going, why does a grown-ass man act like a 12-year-old bully on a playground and smack a grown man? You just don't do that. So you should shame yourself because hopefully that'll keep you from ever doing it again. Mm-hmm.
See, well, what we got to keep in mind too is that these people, they're just human beings. It's like everybody wants to put some major moral standards on these people, but they're just human beings. But, like, people,
okay,
hold on.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And so I actually listened to a video earlier, which kind of makes sense. It's like all of these politicians, they're salespeople, and everybody has a different sales technique. Like whether it's Trump, whether it's Obama, whether it's Biden or whoever's pulling Biden's strings, it's like they're selling to their constituents, and they will do whatever they have to do to keep the spotlight on them. And to quote the immortal Eazy-E, he said, any publicity is good publicity. So sometimes I think when AOC gets up and goes on these crazy Instagram rants, it's like she's invigorating her base. I mean, like the people who are against her, they're just going to be like, yep, she's going crazy again. But her base feeds off of that. Like you go to these AOC rallies. Well, obviously, I just see what I see in clips. But like you go to these rallies and they get behind those weird rants. And then you'll have on the other side, we'll take your favorite, Ted Cruz. It's like, no. he speaks with a lot of passion. Yes, does he talk a lot of bullshit? He does. But there are some points in there where he's making sense. But he speaks very passionately, and the people that follow him feed off of that passion. You know, so being an independent, it's easy to step back and just watch how both sides operate. And there's definitely a method. So to try to hold these people to some moral high ground it's not going to happen, because like they are who they are.
I agree with you. Here's the thing. I don't believe any, I'll say very few of them have any morals. I don't believe that they personally believe in morals. The reason why I hold Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene to that standard of morals is because that's what they're preaching. That is what they're campaigning off of, is their morals and their family values. So I'm going to call them out on their bullshit, just like I call AOC out. You can't say, oh, you're for unions, and you know, and you chastise people who are against unions. And then when you had the ability to support somebody who was trying to start a union with Amazon up in your own district, and you didn't go and support them and give them the support like you said you would, I call her out on that, her bullshit, you know? And so it's not like I think that, you know, you should hold them to a certain moral standard unless they're preaching off of it, unless that's what they're campaigning on. Same way with their families. Your families, to me, there are limits. Unless you start bringing your family in to say, oh, look at my beautiful family and how, you know, and how great my family is and everything, and you start using them as campaign props. Then you've brought them into it. It's open season at that point. So, you know, when your kid's out bopping some girl, you know, and getting her pregnant, you know, I have a hard time hearing, listening to you preach to me about family values and morals. I just, mm-hmm. I can't take it seriously.
Yeah, true. I mean, like, we got to understand too that, you know, to err is human. Like, nobody's perfect. Like, somebody can go to church every single Sunday and on Wednesdays and go to, I don't even know what was it, Sunday school or whatever it's called. And you know, you can do all that stuff. You can read your Bible every day, but at the end of the day, you're still a human. You're gonna make mistakes. You're gonna get tempted by things. Like that's every single one of us. It's like I'm sure at one point last week you probably told a little white lie somewhere. We all do it, you know. And so maybe not last week, but at some point you know you did. It's like. Right. It's like I do my best to tell the truth as much as I can, but every now and then it's like it's not worth the fight.
But you know what? Here's the difference, though, is that when you and I, let's talk about lying, for instance, because I know neither one of us like liars and we don't lie. We do our best not to lie. Yeah. Yet if I do, I correct it and I call it out immediately. I don't pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah,
I don't sweep it under the rug. I don't hide it. I call it out right then. I call myself out. I don't need anyone else called out because I despise lying so much. I hate it. I refuse to live with it myself. So I'll call myself out on it and go, why the hell did I do that? It was such a stupid thing to do. Because why did I lie? Because there was no reason to lie. It was just stupid. Let's do better. But you won't catch me doubling down on the lie or tripling down on the lie and keep trying to keep it going. And that's what these people do. And so, yes, I get it. You know, to err is human, but you know what? So is owning your shit. That's what I say. And so if you're going to start preaching to people, you better call yourself out for your own errors and what you do instead of pretending it didn't happen or trying to sweep it under the rug.
Well, get him back to politics being a reality show. And you know, in the power of Photoshop and video editing, you know, like I said, I think I said this last go round, you know, there's still people thinking that Trump said to inject yourself with bleach, you know what I mean? And that was from skillful editing. Like,
right.
I saw that whole video in its entirety. Like, that's not what the man said. But it's like, these people walk on eggshells even more now, because in a half a second, your shit can go viral. You know, and again, I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying this is what happens. You know, I'm just
right.
Stating the fact. So if you're trying to get elected, and something happens, and you got to kind of dance around it, you know, like that's what they're gonna do. You know, to keep their position, because unfortunately, it's not about the people; it's about the party. It's about the party, and it's about power.
But
and
see,
I heard politicians say this. Right, like this isn't hearsay. It's like I've been on a Zoom call with senators and the lieutenant governor and Congress people talking about, all right, what are we gonna tell the press? Like, what do you mean? What are we gonna tell the press? We're gonna tell the press what happened. but no, we had to tell because I believe they were all Democrats. So it's like we had to tell the press according to the Democrat narrative. It's like that's how it goes. You know, it's like we don't get the truth. We get what they want us to hear, unfortunately.
Yeah, and we got to put an end to that nonsense. And that's why we need politicians who are willing to be honest with the people. But the problem with that is that then they have the weight of the party come down on them, no matter whether it's Republican or Democrat. We've seen that on both sides. Yep. Where, you know, they'll do everything to shut that person down and go, you'll get nothing from us. You don't play ball. If you're a Republican and you don't play ball with the Republican Party, they will shut you down and you'll get nothing. Same way with the Democratic Party.
Yep.
They're both so corrupt that people who go in there with the most genuine, you know, thoughts of change, making change for the people, will get silenced.
Yep.
And I think, you know, and you know, I may be wrong. However, I think when AOC first got elected, I think that was her idea. That was her thought. And I think she realized real quick because of Nancy Pelosi that Nancy Pelosi made it clear to her, that's not how we do things around here. And I will make life a living hell for you if you don't get in line. And I think that's why we see AOC getting more and more in line. And I just wish she had the courage to stand up and go, sorry, I'm not going to play this game this way. But I've seen congressmen, like first year congressmen, come out and say, yeah, you're about, if you want anything done, you have to raise money, and if you don't raise money, they don't give you any, you know, they don't mm-hmm. give you anything. And so it's this game that's being played by both parties that is hurting the people. And that's why you and I get along so well, because we don't buy into the BS from one side or the other. We know both of them are full of BS.
Exactly. And you look at things like the East Palestine train derailment. You know, like it took 2 weeks went by before Biden mentioned that. But the Silicon Valley Bank goes under and he's there in 24 hours, you know, sending bailouts to those banks. It's just stuff like that, you know, like you had a chance to just show a human size. Like you took your ass to Ukraine when stuff was going on here, you know, like that's the stuff that really boils my blood about politics is like,
right.
That. Because you went over there kowtowing instead of actually dealing with people who were choking to death here, you know, and I can't. That's the stuff I can't deal with. Again, even with Ted Cruz not cutting his vacation short when Texas was having all those problems, you know, it's like you should have brought your ass home and been your state while they were hurting. You know, I mean, like yes, again, I know I keep saying that they're human. Humans need a break, but your state was in crisis, you know, and that was a very, very bad look for him. It was a very bad idea for him not to come back and be with the people in their time of need.
Right, especially since it was Ted Cruz and his party who caused that crisis to begin with. Yeah. It was their fault that that crisis even happened. So how the hell are you going to skip out of town because you don't want to freeze? So you're going to go down to Cancun or wherever the hell it was that you went, you know, and feel okay with that. But that's how they feel. That's how all of them are. And again, I say all, let's say 99% of them are that way. They don't care about their constituents. All they care about is getting reelected. And yes. and they know that reelection means buddying up to the big money donors. That's mm-hmm. who they care about. And, you know, and unfortunately, you know, people haven't wised up enough to go, you know, we need to stop voting for these people.
Yeah. Yeah. I just had a thought and I lost it. Notice how we're really not hearing about Roe versus Wade anymore. But before the election, that was all you heard.
Oh, you're going to hear about it again. Yeah, before the presidential election, you'll hear about it. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. Yeah, yep. Absolutely right. And, you know, it's just like the, you know, when you make a great point, when you have Flint, Michigan, which my understanding, they still don't have drinkable water after yeah. all this time. Mm-hmm. How the hell is that even possible? How is that possible?
Yep.
And you know, it's just, it boggles my mind. And then you have, you know, Obama, who bailed out the banks the first time around and said, oh, it had to be done. No, it didn't have to be done. In mm-hmm. fact, we have countries that showed that they prosecuted the heads of the banks who caused this to happen and put them in prison and let the banks fail. And they ended up doing better than we did. And you know, and I'll keep saying this till the day I die. If you felt like the banks needed to be bailed out, this is how it should have been done. You take that money and you give it to the people who had the loans and let them pay off their houses. Now the bank mm-hmm. will still get their money, but instead the banks got the money and the houses because they still foreclosed on those houses even after it. How does any of that make any sense? How does Obama sit there with a straight face? And again, for people who don't know, I lean way left, more so than I lean with the right. Like there's stuff that the right has that I agree with, but when it comes to social issues and things like that, I lean left. And so I don't want people thinking, oh, he just hates Obama or some BS like that. I voted for him. So my point is that even Obama, again, I'd like to think that he went into this office wanting to make change and found out, oh, can't do it. You know, I have to play ball like everybody else. Now, he may have already known that. I don't know. But when he pulled that stunt, I was like, you know, and even now, you know, when he got Buttigieg and what's her name to drop out of the race so Biden could be moved up and throw their support to Biden so he would beat Sanders because they would do anything to keep Sanders from being the Democratic nominee. When Obama did that, I was like, he's a sellout. And look how much money he's made since then because of it.
Mm-hmm.
It pays.
Exactly. You know,
treason pays.
See, a lot of the things, Obama covered himself with his speaking ability because he presented very well. Very, very well. That we just overlook his drone wars where he was killing innocent civilians and killing kids like every single day. Like we just overlook that part because he can get in front of the camera and give a good speech. And everyone's like, oh, I missed that dude. And again, going back to the media controlling the image. Like if they actually covered, like you were saying, with the bank bailouts, with those proxy wars, with the handling of Afghanistan, there were just so many things that he fumbled the ball with, and then promising all this stuff to the Black community, and they got nothing. Notice I don't say we, they got nothing.
Right.
And it's like you walk through these inner cities, and it's like, you know, you're raising all this money, BLM is raising all of this money, where the hell is it going? Because it's definitely not going here. It's like, how come the bars in these schools, I mean, the schools in this city has bars on the windows, but then you go down the way to East Greenwich and their school looks like a palace.
Right.
And also like that part of systemic racism, I do believe in because you can see it with your own two eyes. You know, it's like this neighborhood looks pristine. This neighborhood looks like a war zone. You know, right. So some of those resources, now granted, going back to what I was saying last show about accountability, some of that is the people in those communities have to give investors a reason to want to invest in said community. But when you put up a new building and then within 24 hours, there's graffiti all over it, or right. there's trash on the road, or there's people pissing on the side of the building. You know, it's like you got to give people, you know, these billionaires, they're not going to invest their money if you're not going to respect it. You know, so it kind of goes two ways, because you have the systemic racism part, but you also have the generational brainwashing part, where those right. people think that they don't deserve any better or they can't get any better.
Exactly.
Nobody jumps topics the way we do.
I know. Well, there's two things I want to say. Well, let's talk about that. One is that, you know, I've seen cities give millions to the plighted areas of the city. And like you said, you know, fresh paint, fresh, you know, buildings, you know, you name it. And within a year, the place looks like a dump again. And it's because it's not taken care of. It's not, and again, I don't believe it's because of the majority of people there. I believe it's because of the crime and the people who run the crime in that area. Mm-hmm. They're afraid to stand up against it. Not only because, again, as you know, as a Black man, that if you say anything, then you're an Uncle Tom or whatever, because you're going against your own people.
Yep.
Because you want better for yourself, which makes no sense to me.
It's stupid. I was on a podcast and I even said that, because somebody said, oh, you know, you sound like one of them C-O-O-N-S, you know? And I was like, how? Because I said, all you need is a goal, drive, and perseverance. That's all you need to be successful, regardless of race, gender, sexual orientation. None of that matters. If you have a goal, you have drive, and you have perseverance, you can be successful. That's what I said. And they were saying that you hate yourself, you're just speaking for the white man, that I was called a Black face of white supremacy. I was like, how is that message uplifting white supremacy by me telling a classroom full of Black and brown kids and women that you can be successful? Like, don't let the outside world put limitations on you. It's like, whatever you want to accomplish, you can accomplish it. And somehow that's white supremacy. Make it make that, sense.
Because they have this victim mentality. That's why I go, look, there's not one Black person, not one white person, not any person who can tell me that if you ascribe to the things that you just said, that you can't be successful. You cannot tell me that you have it worse than Madam C.J. Walker, who was born right at, like, her it was just after 1865 when her parents were released from slavery. They didn't have a dime to their name, literally not a dime to their name, no place to live. They were kicked off the plantation because the plantation owners refused or couldn't pay them. So they were kicked off the plantation with nowhere to go, no home, no nothing. Here's a woman who's born into that and becomes a millionaire.
Yep.
Not only is she Black and has to deal with that, but she's a woman and has to deal with even the Black men who were considered wealthy and coming up, didn't even want to give her the time of day. So even within her own community, they weren't going to give her any time because she was a woman. And yet she persevered and became a millionaire. So how are you going to tell me you have it worse than she had it? You can't.
Know what the irony is of all of this? And during Jim Crow, the Black family was actually strong. It was strong. It was the fastest growing population, you know, as far as growth, as far as finances. And that's when segregation was legal. That's when racism was pretty much legal. It's like, all right, Black people, you go here. White people, you go there. You drink from this fountain. You drink from this. Like, it was legal. And the Black family was flourishing. So now you have the Civil Rights Act in the 60s, which got black women married to the government kicking the men out of the house. It's like, and you say this and people are, oh, here you go with the conservative talking points. You're like, dude, it happened. This is real. This is not a talking point. It happened. So young black kids, I think only 20% or so, you know, give or take a percentage point. It was about like 20 to 23% were born into a two-family home. We're born into a single-parent home. 20%. Now it's like 75% yeah. in a little over a generation. Like, that's insane. That's insane. So, like, when we were actually segregated, blacks were doing better. And why? Because they weren't worried about white people. They were worried about building up their own community. Now, I know other things happened in there, too, where, like, Black Wall Street got attacked and, you know, the Tulsa Massacre. Like, I understand all of that stuff happened, but I just mean as a whole. But now it's like everything is about white people. Like, you can't have this because of white people. White people are going to hold you down. White people are going to get all the jobs. It's like, but that's not the case. I said, when racism was legal, blacks were flourishing. Once again, make it make sense.
Yeah, well, you know, it's unfortunate because, and the government has a huge part to play in this, only simply because I truly believe that drugs were introduced, especially the type of drugs that were introduced into the poorer communities, I truly believe were deliberate. I truly believe that. I agree. You know, and the money that was given to them was to keep them down, was to make them become dependent on the government for different, you know, different checks and stuff. And this is why in the black community and in the poor white community, I would say even, that you have women who it benefits them to not show that they have a father, because if they can show there's no father, even though he might be in the scene, if you show that he's not in the scene, you get more money from the government to take care of your child. If the father's in the scene, then you don't get that money. So they've learned to play the system, and they think that they're being smart because they're playing the system, not realizing that by doing that, they're holding themselves back, and they're basically stepping over dollars to pick up pennies, you know, because if they would just take control of their own lives and work to make something of themselves instead of being dependent on, you know, the government or someone else,
yeah,
they would flourish so much more. And I agree that, you know, there's something to be said about that. So,
yeah. And I saw this stat, because you mentioned poor white people, because people think that there's this huge disparity between poor whites and poor blacks. And it's not, I believe, again, you can, like, these numbers are out there in the census, because I looked at it just yesterday, because I believe it was like 40 million poor whites versus 8 million poor blacks. So now there's like 160 million whites for a percentage of 0.25% that are poor. And it's 8 million versus, I believe it's like 42 or 44 million blacks in the country. And now I don't know if that includes people like me who are biracial, because I'm half black, half, right, half Puerto Rican. So, like, I don't know where that fits, or if you get, like, my kids who are white, black, and Puerto Rican. So I'm not sure about that. But anyway, and that was 0.2. You know, so, like, it's and there's more white people. I say, exactly, but there's more poor white people than there are poor black people. That's the point. You know, so when, right, you start getting into percentage points, like, that doesn't, again, going back to that, doesn't change the fact. The fact that there are actually more white people on public assistance than black people, you know, and again, and people say, well, look at the percentage, like, yeah, but that doesn't matter. You got to look at the number as a whole, you know? So, like, there are a lot more white people who are poor and being struck by generational poverty, but yet we focus on the 1% that are super wealthy. We focus on Elon Musk and Bill Gates and we set that as the white privilege standard. With blacks, it's the opposite. We have Denzel Washington. We have Condoleezza Rice. We had Chadwick Boseman, Oprah. Like, we have LeBron James, Michael Jordan. We have all these people we can idolize, but we got statues of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. See what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Where are our heroes? Our heroes are criminals. You know, I was like, again, if that's not by design, like instead of anything is systemic, it's that. Because like you said earlier, the politicians need that. Because they right. they have that black vote locked because you just say all Republicans are racist, right? So the blacks aren't going to vote for the racists, so we're going to vote for these guys. So we don't have to give them anything. We'll just keep them thinking they're all racist. They're going to hold you down. What did Biden say? They're going to put you back in chains. You know, so you right. have a whole group of people that you're telling this to. You already have their vote locked, so you don't have to do anything for them.
Well, that's the thing. That's one of the things about the Democratic Party is that they do a ton. Well, the Republican Party does it too, but the Democrats do it to a point where they fear monger to where they go, you need us, you know, like you that's why we're here. We're going to give you what you need so that, you know, so the bad Republicans can't do, you know, bad things to you. Yeah. And it victimizes everyone who's part of that mindset.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing it with the LGBTQ community. They do it with, you know, with the black community. They do it with anybody that's disenfranchised or considered a minority. They will bring them under their wings and tell you, oh, we're here to protect you, as if you can't protect yourself, as if you can't do things for yourself. And that's, and unfortunately, so many fall into that, you know, belief, and it holds them back without a doubt. Yep. One of the other things I wanted to say real quick on the drone wars that you talked about, Obama, you would not believe the number of Democrats or people on the left when I talk about George Bush and Dick Cheney being war criminals. They're like, yeah, they're war criminals. I go, and so is Obama and so is Hillary Clinton. They're like, what? I go, yes. They're just as big of war criminals as George Bush and Dick Cheney are, and they don't want to hear that. Mm-hmm. They're all about, you know, yeah, put Bush and Cheney in prison, but Obama and Hillary Clinton, who did the same exact thing practically, killing innocent people in a war that they had no business starting, that we had no business even being in,
yep.
And yet somehow that's okay.
Yep, and again, that goes back to the media, because the people who just watch left-wing media, they will never see that story.
Right.
that's why. And again, going back to Trump, and you know my feelings on Trump. You know, he definitely did a lot of things to shoot himself in the foot, but he did accomplish some things as well. But CNN would never show it. MSNBC will never show it. CBS, ABC, NBC, none of them will show any of those accomplishments. And I just think that that's just so bad. Because, like, you want people to vote properly. You know, like, you can't just show one side of the story so you can just tell your side of the story so that you get votes. Like, if you want to swing people who are in the middle, because, you know, the far left, they're going to vote them. The far right, they're going to vote Republican. That's just a given. It's those of us in the middle, you know, who could swing either way. And the news is supposed to be impartial, like way back in the day, in the Walter Cronkite days. But I think I said before, too, that Malcolm X called it back in the 60s. He said, you know, the media is being weaponized. And this was before social media and camera phones and all that other stuff. Like, he called it back then, you know, over 60 years ago. And now, with all this technology, our phones are listening to us every second of the day. Like, I was watching Judge Judy on my laptop, and I had my phone next to my laptop. So I get on YouTube Shorts. I hadn't seen a Judge Judy short ever. And I look at shorts for at least half an hour a day, I'd say.
Right.
And then I started seeing Judge Judy in my algorithm. I'm like, it's freaking phone is listening to my damn computer.
Yep.
You know, so going back to how I started this, it's one big reality show. You know, so to call out a politician for lying, you're like, yo, there's not enough hours in a day. Every friggin' one of them does it. They get right up there, right in front of the camera, and lie right to your face to get your vote. The other side will call it out, regardless of what side you're on. You're either going to be called a communist or a Nazi, right? Again, same game, different playbook.
Yeah, and the thing is that they did the same thing with Bernie Sanders, because they don't want Bernie, because Sanders wants to get money out of politics, and if he was able to do so, That would mean that all these news stations wouldn't receive the billions of dollars during their elections that they get for campaign, you know, advertisement. And so they don't want that. And so even though, even when Bernie was leading the Democratic nominees, they wouldn't give him the time of day. And the few times that he was always asked stupid ass questions, never anything to do with, you know, what he's campaigning on or anything like that. It was always something stupid. And they did their best. And this is where I get upset with people like Warren, what's her name?
Elizabeth
Warren, who lied. And, you know, where I guarantee you, you know, they were trying to discredit Bernie by saying that he was a misogynist. Are you serious? Like, he used to, when Bernie was the one who told Elizabeth, you should run for president. He told her that, you know, and now you're trying to say that, oh, he was being misogynistic towards you. And he called you, like, you're an obvious liar. Obvious. Now I can't get behind you because I can't trust anything you ever say again. But they work so hard to make sure. And Clinton, Hillary Clinton, and the Obamas or Barack Obama, they were behind this 100% to make sure that someone like him didn't make it into to become the Democratic nominee. Because if he won it, the Democratic Party would change. It would be like the time that you had the liberal Democrats who took over from the Dixiecrats, you know, when the Dixiecrats lost the party, and they will do anything to make sure they don't lose this party, because then they lose all their power and all their money.
All the money. There it is. Yep. Yeah. So going back to like the false campaign promises again, like with the whole, you know, taxing the rich and taxing the corporations. Cause remember I said it when we first met that, That's never gonna happen because that affects them. Like they get in front of us. Yeah, they'll draw up a bill knowing that it's not gonna pass. So they can say, "Well, I passed the bill," and they shot it down. Then the Republicans will, you know, propose a bill, and then it'll get shot down. They're like, "Well, see, we're trying." They keep shooting it down. Like, this is the same bullshit since I was a teenager, since I first voted at 18. It's the exact same thing. They're talking about all the same talking points all the way across, and none of it's ever going to change. Like, they're not going to tax the rich because that affects them. They are in the rich. The people who fund them are the rich people. You think the ruling class is going to let them pass a legislation that's going to mess up their tax code? Hell no, that ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. But yet you get the simpletons who will watch whatever news station they watch, and they'll just run with that, thinking it's going to happen. It's like, they're not going to tax 15% on the... You really? You kidding me? The ruling class billionaires will cut that down in a second. It's like, that will not pass. And I'm not even a huge political guy, but I have this thing called common sense.
Right.
And I know if I was one of the ruling class elites in my private jet over in Munich, you know, talking about stuff, you know they're going to be like, that shit better not pass. Like, you guys go back to your governments and make sure that does not pass.
And I'm going to tell you something. This is what I truly believe. I believe we should have an exam or a test in order for you to be allowed to vote. Mm. And I think, but what voters should be taught is to, you know, the common sense things. Like, just because someone says something, you will look at their actions, listen to their words, and see where they've been voting, see what they've been doing, and pay attention to what they really mean, and educate them to the political system and how corrupt it is, and to see and to be able to notice corruption when they see it. That's what I believe. But see, neither party wants that to happen. No one thinks, you know, neither party thinks that you should be of some intelligence to vote. Because if the people who voted were intelligent and it weren't just simpletons, as you said, these people wouldn't be in office.
Yep. Agreed. Like, we sent over $100 billion to Ukraine. $100 billion. I realize they're in war, but $100 billion. I believe Elon Musk, I don't know, somebody said that you could end hunger in the U.S. with about $24 billion. $24 billion can end hunger in the U.S. That's insane to me. But we can ship all this money elsewhere. Hey, it's our first leg. You know, or California proposing giving $5 million to people who were never slaves in a state that never had slaves, which comes out to like $500 billion. And all they're going to do is take that money and spend it. So it's going to go right back into the California economy. It's like they're really not helping anyone, you know?
You know, when I talked to Dr. Dennis Kimbrough about reparations, he made such a great, great point about reparations. He said, if you want to give reparations, he said, then you take the banks of this country and you have them invest in Black-owned banks. He goes, do you understand the magnitude, like the power that would give the Black community when they actually not, like they just invested, didn't give them the money, just would invest in them, what they could do with that money and build their own community and have the ability to bring themselves up rather than depend on the government to do it for them. And he said some other things. I'm not doing it justice. If you ever get a chance, go back and listen to the first interview I did with Dr. Dennis Kimbrough. The man is just, I can't say enough good things about him. But yeah, giving and the $100 billion. So I discovered that when we say we're giving, you know, like $1 billion to Israel or wherever we're giving it, we're not actually giving them $1 billion. What we're doing is we're giving them $1 billion, but it's almost like funny money. You can use that $1 billion, but you're only allowed to spend it on weapons that are produced by the U.S. military or our contractors. So you can buy our tanks, you can buy our planes, you can buy our ships. That's what you get to spend the money on. So I know that's the case when we give money throughout the world. What I'm curious about is if all that money was allocated just like that for Ukraine. It's like, here's your $100 billion. Now what happens is that money gets funneled back into the military industrial complex, where all those companies that are part of that are going to benefit. They benefit from the war in Ukraine. Can you imagine that?
Of course they do.
Yeah. I mean, and the U.S. government allows it to happen because, as we know, the military industrial complex controls a great deal of what our politicians do.
Facts. Yeah. So, I'm pretty certain Zelensky's getting kickbacks. I guarantee he is good. I can't guarantee it, but in my gut, he is. Because I really think that's like kickbacks from the Hunter Biden cover up. Because I believe you said this last time, when stories vanish, there's truth to it.
Right.
You know, so when things just get scraped off of YouTube and Twitter and everything else, there's definitely some truth to it. Just like that Chinese scientist who said this was in 2020 that COVID escaped the lab, gone like that within 24 hours, because I went to forward it to someone else and it was gone. I was like, whenever that happens, there's always some truth. You know, so yeah, even with people that you may not like I said, like I'm not AOC's biggest fan at all, but there are some of her videos that I'll watch where I was like, all right, she's on point with this one, you know, but there are people that completely just disregard other people because they don't like them. I said, that doesn't mean everything out of their mouth is a lie. Like, I know you're not a fan of Matt Walsh, but like some of the videos of him that I watch, I'm like, this dude is spot on, and he's got the balls to go out in public and say this stuff. You know, it's like that takes a serious backbone and a serious conviction, because you can tell he's not pandering. Like he believes the stuff that he says. And I saw one the other day where this woman is like just flipping out at him, screaming and yelling, because he just simply said, what is a woman? And she said, I feel. And he was like, no, I feel. Just, it's a simple question. What is a woman? And this woman had like an epic meltdown, and he just stood there stoic, didn't flinch. She's like in his face yelling, and he just stood there like a champ and just took it. You know, so like with that, I respect, you know, because people that tell their truth or, you know, share their beliefs, it's like, I don't discredit that person if that's what they truly believe. Even on the Democrat side, you know, when Bernie Sanders talks about socialism, like he really believes that, you know? And so if that's what you believe, that's like, I'm not going to call you stupid or an idiot or whatever, but his message doesn't flip-flop. It's just the politicians that one day they're right, one day they're left, one day they're right, one day they're left. And it's like, pick an effing lane. You know, it's like, at least I know when I listen to Matt Walsh, I know where he's going. When you listen to Kamala Harris, half the times you don't know what the hell she's saying. Like, she gets up there and talks and literally says nothing.
See, I agree with you 100%. Like you mentioned, I'm not a big fan of Matt Walsh. But when he came out with that documentary, What is a Woman? I agree with him 100%. I've got to give him his credit where credit's due. He was absolutely, he did an excellent job on that documentary. I do not like Ben Shapiro, but there's times where he says things where I go, you know what? He's right on this. I don't think he's right often, but he was, you know, he's right on this particular topic. Yeah. And, you know, and you don't have to hate them. I don't hate Ben Shapiro. I don't hate Matt Walsh. I don't believe the way Matt Walsh believes, and he can have his beliefs. I don't agree with them, but I don't have to say he's the devil or something. You know, I mean, I agree with Bernie Sanders a lot of the times, but I don't, even though Bernie's my man, there's some things he said in there where I go, no, Bernie, not that. You know, it's like, that's not right. You know, yep. So, and if you think your guy is always right, then you got a problem. And therein lies the real problem in our society, is that we can't, left or right, you can't say anything against the person that's on the side that you're on. Because if you do, you get ostracized. Yep. And it's particularly that way on the left, and it's become worse. And it's just unfortunate, because then you can't have any honest discussions about anything anymore.
Yeah, no, I mean, the right's bad with that stuff too. Like when with the protests over abortion, like some of them got downright nasty, and it's like, guys, it's, you know, weren't you here for 2020? Like, why are we gonna repeat that? You know, it's like,
right, yeah.
You know, you're gonna go and trash your community. This stuff usually happens in cities. Like, that was my thing with BLM. And like, you go into, like, there's black people in like 12 cities throughout the country. I think they said 60%, according to the Census Bureau, 60% of black Americans live in the 10 biggest cities. You know, just think about that. So you're going to these cities and trashing black businesses.
Yeah,
and like they don't care. Make it make sense.
How do you say Black Lives Matter and then you go trash? Listen, that's the biggest con game out there. And I was supportive. That's not the word. I was
empathetic.
There you go. Thank you. I was empathetic towards, or people would say sympathetic, because I couldn't have empathy because I'm not black, I guess. But anyway, sympathy. But I do know what it is to be poor. So I would have sympathy for them and go, because I do believe there's systemic racism and that it needs to be stopped. But if you ignore the fact that, you know, the percentage of black on black crime, and you ignore that as if it doesn't exist and it doesn't matter, that it only matters when the white cop kills a black man, then you're missing the point. It's like, mm-hmm. You know, black men are killed disproportionately to the percentage that they are of, you know, in this country, and it needs to stop, period. And it needs to stop from the police, and it needs to stop from people in the black community. It needs to stop from white racists. It needs to stop, period. Because as a black man in this country, I can't even imagine that, not only, because as a black man, you're not just concerned about walking out your door and getting pulled over by the cops. And that's the narrative the left is trying to paint. That every time you get in your car, you're worried about, you know, the only thing you're worried about are white cops. And that's not the truth. The truth is, as you're worried about drive-by shootings, you're worried about, you know, white supremacists who see you jogging through the neighborhood and decide that, oh, there's a black man in my community, and he must be up to no good. There's so many things that you have to worry about that white guys, you know, that we don't even, that we just take for granted. We just get in our car and drive or run anywhere we want and don't think about it, you know? And,
you know, so from my point of view, when I'm out and about, I don't ever think about white people when I'm out and about as like a threat. Never. If I go into the city, I'm not on the lookout for white people. Right. I'm not. It's like, even when I was in college, I got more hate from the black people on campus than I did from anyone. I didn't have any problem with any white people the year and a half that I was at URI. But I would get made fun of when I had hair. I would get made fun of for the way I wore my hair, the way I had my goatee, for the way I walked, for the way I talked. I'm like, sorry, my parents instilled values in us. My bad. You know, because I didn't subscribe to the hood lifestyle or the hood mentality. It's like, that is the number one thing plaguing the black community. It's not white supremacy. It's not systemic racism. It's none of that. Racism is like the flu. They're never going to eradicate it because it makes money. It's not going to go away, right? So whenever people say we need to end systemic racism, not happening. It makes billions of dollars per year. So unfortunately, we have to teach people how to thrive in spite of it. Like, I applied for a job that, oh God, that sucks to say. I applied for a job near here by my mom's, and I applied a couple weeks ago, and I have tons of experience. Like, I hadn't heard anything. So I went down there today, and at first my mom was like, you know, they're not going to let you in because it's like a really uppity, like country club style place. It was a lot nicer than it looked online. But anyway, so she's like, yeah, you know, I tried and they didn't let us in. I said, okay, well, let me try. No, good. Just because it didn't work for you doesn't mean it ain't going to work for me. So I pull up and, you know, the guy opens up the door. I said, what's the best way to follow up on an application? And he's like, oh, he's like, did you apply online? I was like, yes. So he's like, hold on a second. He makes a call to the main desk and asks if a manager was available. He's like, yep. He said, just pull up to the first building, go inside, and the manager will come and talk to you. You know, so instead of just sitting at home waiting, right, you take action. You take action. You know, so I could just sit here and say, oh, it's because I checked black on my application. Like, how do you even know? How do you know? Right. Like, when I managed restaurants, we would get applications in all the time, and sometimes they just accumulate, you know. And so, especially if you're short-handed, it's not like you have a lot of time to sit at your desk and go through applications. Like, you're putting out fire after fire after fire. Like, unfortunately, you know, people who work in the restaurant industry are probably all shaking their heads right now. Like, it's a busy, hectic industry with a lot of moving pieces, with a lot of staff. You're dealing with a lot of different personalities. So several days could go by before I would even pick up the applications. And then as you're going through, you pick out the ones on paper that stand out the best. And with me, I never once looked at what color are these people? I'm looking at experience. Are there any gaps in the job history? You know, so like if you've had four jobs in the last year, that's a red flag. That's got nothing to do with the color of your skin. You know, so it's like, I have standards here that I'm trying to meet for this business, and I'm going to pick the people who I feel will best be able to meet those standards. So if I hire eight people and all eight of them happen to be white, I felt in my eyes, those were the best eight people to carry out our standards. And, you know, that has nothing to do with skin color. And so, like, with this whole quota thing, and like, I don't believe in that, because it takes away people in the black community. It takes away their ability to fight. So back to what I started this, we got to teach people to thrive in spite of racism. Be so good that they can't ignore you. You know, show up powerfully, show up professionally, show up respectfully, and work your ass off. And then you're going to have success. It's like, that's the key. It's got nothing to do with white people. It's got nothing to do with systemic racism. It's got to deal with that. Sorry, I know I unpacked a lot there.
No, that was because I remember when I many, many moons ago, I was managing a furniture store. And I remember this woman come into the store, looked like she just rolled out of bed. Didn't have, like, she had these slippers on, like a pajama, like what looked like pajama bottoms on. And she came in and she had a piece of paper from the unemployment and she wanted me to sign it because she had to say that she came to look for a job at different places. And so she had to get so many signatures to prove it so that she could get her unemployment. And I looked at her and I go, is this how you would apply for a job? And she didn't say anything. I said, I'm not signing this. I said, but I'll tell you what, you go home and you get changed and you come back here and actually apply for a job. Okay. And I said, and we'll consider giving you one. But she didn't want a job. She didn't want a job there. So she never came back because she could have, I would have probably hired her had she come back.
Yeah.
And showed me some, you know, the fortitude that it took to go, I really want a job. But she didn't want a job. And so you're right. You know, you people have got to want this for themselves. Like, and again, it comes down to that victim mentality where it's like, I just want to be, I just want to play the system. That's all I want. I, you know, they don't realize that the, that what they're getting are pennies compared to what they could get if they actually like took the effort that they put into playing the system and put that towards something productive, what they could do with their lives. And how much better off they would be if they would just look at it differently.
Yeah, I think I told you about Adan, one of my, I think he was on episode 40 of my podcast. Like he's an Israeli immigrant. Like he came over here with four other people and $1,000, and they started Restoration 911. Right? They took that $1,000. They bought a cheap car and bought a vacuum cleaner, and they just went around. And just started cleaning offices, cleaning, you know, buildings, things of that nature. Then as they got more money, you know, they upgraded, bought a van, you know, got an apartment for the five of them. And then where everything changed, so they were just doing cleaning at this point. So there was a place that I believe it had a fire, a flood, something or other. So anyway, so they were in there. And doing their thing. At the same time, a restoration company came too, because again, they just did cleaning. So the restoration company was there to suck out the water and all that. And so this guy was like, you know, our business, we're all about service. Like we want to work for the people. We want to do the best job possible. He said, these restoration people, they were just focused on the task. Like they weren't personable. Right. They weren't friendly. And they're like, if we just add that, we can do that better, you know. So they became Restoration 911, which is one of the biggest cleaning franchises in the country now. And yeah. Dude came here with $1,000. Like I said earlier, goal, drive, perseverance. Dude came here from another country, didn't speak the language, you know, and he had nothing. He had nothing. $1,000 between five people. Now that's what, it's $200 a person. And they turned it into a multi-million dollar franchise because they found something that they could capitalize on. Like, they're not doing this well. We can do this better. And boom, there it is. But one of the things he said to me on that episode, he says, I don't understand why people hate this country.
Yeah.
He's like, this opportunity's everywhere. He's like, I'm brown skinned, didn't speak a lick of English. He's like, and I have one of the biggest franchises in the country.
Well, I think what happens is that we get caught up. Look, you know, it's like you said earlier, none of us are perfect. Our country is imperfect and it does a lot of wrong. But to ignore what we've done right and how we have helped so many people in this world and in this the different countries and how and the lifestyle that we have provided. And that's where it comes from. We come from, whenever I hear about white privilege or male privilege or any of this nonsense, I go, every one of us has first world privilege. Every one of us.
Yep.
So you have, you know, all your bitching and moaning and complaining, people would love to be in your position. I guarantee you there are people throughout this world who would go, give me a roof over my head where the water doesn't leak in, where there's electricity, where there's indoor plumbing. I would take that in a heartbeat. And yet we take it for granted because it's always been there. Now, I know there's going to be a few exceptions out there that don't have that, but they're so few and far in between. And even with the homeless situation, many people are feeling this economy and have become homeless, and I understand that. I also understand that we have services to help those people, and I hope that those people are able to get back on their feet. But again, that means we need to fix what's broken in our government. It doesn't mean like what this younger generation wants to do, which is cause complete anarchy and burn everything to the ground. That's not fixing anything because they have no solutions. They just want to destroy everything. And, and it's such a silly way to approach things as far as I'm concerned.
See, so the only pushback I'm going to have on that is I guess the government is involved to a point because the government controls education, but it's through schools. So when I got into this program, what the hell was it called? I don't know. And anyways, I was at one of the local chamber of commerce buildings, and the amount of resources that are available is staggering. I'm talking everything. And as I'm going through, I was like, I never knew any of this existed. It's like, I think that's the problem, is that people don't know what's available. Like, there's this place I'm a volunteer coach for. It's called Social Enterprise Greenhouse, where we help people, typically in lower income areas, start a business. So, I worked with a young woman who created juices for juicing. And so she makes homemade juices. And so now I don't work with the part where they get into the business and all that. I was helping her from the branding, marketing, storytelling standpoint. Cause at the end of the 12 weeks, you actually get to pitch your idea to investors. And hopefully, an investor will write you a check and help get your stuff to market. But that's all free. A free 12-week course to help you bring your idea to life. It's like legit, like a 12-week college crash course in business. And they have it for that. They have it for marketing. They have it for QuickBooks and accounting. And again, as I'm going down this list, I'm like, why aren't the kids being told about this? Especially the kids that don't go on to college. It's like, why aren't they should be told right. about this at an educational level? So these systems are out there. Just a lot of people don't know about it. So whenever I hear, oh, there's no opportunities for Black and brown people, I'm like, go to a local chamber of commerce, because I guarantee whatever you want to do, they have a resource for it. It's insane.
Yeah, you make a great point, because we do. I almost think sometimes that people don't, even the ones who do hear it, they'd go, there's got to be a catch or something. They don't believe it because it sounds too good to be true. But there are, you're right, there are a ton of resources. And that's what I was alluding to as well, for the homeless, that we do have programs and stuff to help homeless people and to get them off the streets and get to a point where they're no longer homeless. Of course, if we took, if Congress and the president had taken other actions instead of bailing out, big banks and helping out the people, we probably wouldn't have a lot of this situation that we're in as we speak. So,
yeah, exactly. Like you get, Pelosi, I know she's retired now, but she was from San Francisco area, which has one of the highest concentrations of homeless people. As you're raking in hundreds of millions for whatever it is, whatever shady stuff she was doing to get her money. Right. But how can you sit back with money like that, knowing that there's people sleeping on the sidewalk?
Yeah.
That's what I don't get. With your platform, with your voice, even if you, I'm not saying she should have funded it, but she could have been the voice to help raise money to get those people off the street. you know, like, again, that's the other side of politics that I can't stand. Like, you guys are all enriching yourselves off the backs of people who are barely scraping by.
Okay, so now, so that you and I don't sound like hypocrites, because we just spoke about the fact that, you know, we put these people in a victimized mindset. Mm. At what point, you know, because when you're down and out like that, when you're homeless, like, I know you and I know me. If I'm homeless, I'm going to go, all right, step one, what's the first thing I need to do to get the hell off the streets? Mm-hmm. You know, like, provided that I already have the necessities that I need to be able to survive on the streets, my next step will be, what do I need to do to get off the streets? You know, do I need to panhandle, get 10 bucks so I can sign up Planet Fitness and make sure that I can have a place to take a shower every morning, you know, a hot shower and use the bathroom? What do I need to do? Where do I need to get, you know, to save up and go buy some clothes so that I can go around and find a job or whatever I need, you know, in order to start getting back on my feet? How much of that is the responsibility of the people who are homeless? How much of it do you think is the responsibility of the government, you know, like you said, taking care, like you have $100 million sitting in your bank account, you know? And again, a lot of times the rich people are like, all you gotta do is pull yourself up by your bootstraps, which I agree with to a certain extent, but you gotta have a pair of bootstraps to pull up on before you can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me just clarify. So by support, I meant in totality, like, to come up with maybe classes to educate these people, find out how they got there. You know, it's like, what went on in your life? Are they on drugs? Like, if they're on drugs, there should be a gateway to a rehab facility, something along those lines. Just like people who are in jail, it should be like mandatory learning, you know, like, especially if people are eventually going to get out. Like, you want them to get out and not commit more crimes and get back in, because that's all they know. Right. So it's like you can't expect people to course correct if there's no direction. Right. So I'm just saying, so for her as the leader, she could have, you know, spearheaded some type of campaign to help these people. I'm not saying just give them money, give them a place to live, but in totality, help give them the education, give them whatever it is they need so they can self-sustain, you know, like, something along those lines. Like, I don't know what the overall answer is, but something along those lines. I just know if I was sitting there in my, you know, multi-million dollar mansion, chilling in my hot tub when people across town are sleeping on the sidewalk, like, me, with, I couldn't do that with a clear conscience. Couldn't do it.
Right. I agree. Well, obviously, we're just two men, and, you know, and we have our opinions and our thoughts about things. We don't have the answers to everything.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but at least the thing is we identify the problem, we identify the source of the problem, and we focus on solutions. And that's how you solve problems. You don't identify a problem and then just focus on the problem and never think about what's causing that problem, because this is really just a symptom. The real problem is what's causing it. And then look for the solutions and start focusing on the solutions. That's how we make real change. And anybody who's listening to, you know, who would listen to us, who is in that predicament, you know, you've got to do that. If you ever want to be successful in anything, you've got to do that.
Nice. That's a solid closing right there. And I'll just reiterate what I said earlier. Just drive, goal, drive, perseverance. That right there is the key. Whether it's sports, whether it's education, whether it's in career, whether it's in your relationship. Like, you got to have relationship goals as well. So, but if you got those three things in alignment, you'll be unstoppable.
Absolutely. So, excellent job.
Thank you. So this was a great talk. Let me end the recording.